Bibles tonight to the book of Romans again, chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Last Sunday night we began a series of messages just on and just taking Romans 8 and going through these things and noticing that we as a child of God should not have the spirit of fear in our life. We noticed last week that for the most part we're afraid of everything. We look to our right hand and we're afraid. We look to our left, we are afraid. And there's fear everywhere because of the uncertainties that are around us. But the Bible tells us that we ought not to fear. Now I know it's natural. I'm not talking about this, the fears that come upon us. There's a natural part of fear that all of us have. But when a child of God is concerning some things that are in the Word of God and some things in our life, the spirit of fear should not overtake us. The spirit of fear should not overwhelm us to the point that we can no longer serve the Lord. We noticed last week that we ought not to have this spirit of fear because we have been pardoned from an eternal penalty. My, when we think about tonight that our pardon has been given, has been signed. I preached a message here one time, my pardon is signed. I could never preach that message again like I preached it that night, but I'm sure glad that my pardon is signed and I'm set free and have freedom and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do not have to fear tonight the things of this world. Don't have to fear Satan because my pardon has been taken and I have been taken out of an eternal penalty of going to hell, and I don't have to do that because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. We noticed in the first four verses some things about our pardon and how we have been taken out of that eternal penalty of the world, and we have been made free, and our salvation has a goal in us, and that goal is found in verse number 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. There's the goal of the salvation experience that we have, that we walk after the things of God and we do mind the things of the Lord and we do not walk after this thing of the flesh. And tonight we're going to look in verses 5 through 13. And I want to try to give you some things tonight on this same subject of no spirit of fear. And the second reason that we ought not to have fear is because we possess in our lives an eternal presence of the Holy Spirit. We have living within our soul and within our bodies. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore I need to be careful about my body, because as a child of God, that eternal Spirit of the Lord rules and reigns and lives within my flesh. And so we want to look tonight that we ought not to have fear, not only because we have a pardon from an eternal penalty, but we have possessed an eternal presence in the Holy Spirit. Read with me, if you would, verses 5 through 13 in Romans chapter number 8. We read these last week, but we'll reread them again tonight. Verse number 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye that are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now that's an important verse of Scripture concerning the things that we hear many times about receiving the Holy Spirit and praying for the Holy Spirit and trying to get the Holy Spirit to come and possess us. That's foreign to the Word of God. The Bible says here that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse number 10. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, ye are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I want us to think tonight, as I said, that we have no fear, and that spirit of fear shall not overwhelm us, because we possess this eternal presence of the Holy Spirit. There are three levels, I believe, the Bible talks about, of our life. There are those that live in the flesh, and they do mind the things of the flesh. And that just simply means they do just what they want to do. They're living under the control of this mortal flesh and of the things of the world. They have no desires whatsoever of God. We noticed that some this morning in our Sunday school. And there's one level of people that just do what they want to. They live just in the natural way. And the Bible tells us in Peter, one of the books of Peter, that they live nothing more than just natural brute beasts. That's living and minding the things of the flesh. And then there are those folks that live what I call under the law. They live and they're afraid to do certain things because of this fear that people have put within them. They're afraid of what might happen. I don't want to live under the in the realm of the flesh. I don't want to live under the realm of that spoken law that if you do this, then God's going to do that and take care of this and take care of that. That's living under law, and we are to live under the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight, as I've said many times, if you're here because you think somebody would make you come, then you'd probably be better off at home, and so would everybody else, because that would be a hindrance unto the worship and the house of God. And we ought to be in the Lord's house. We ought to be serving God because we love Him, not because we have to do it. We ought to do it because we love and adore Him, because He came and died upon Calvary, gave His life that we might live eternally. And so we do what we do because of our love toward Him, not because we're afraid of what He's going to do or what might happen to us. Some people go to church all the time, and they live under the rules and under the tenets of fear. I know some preachers that rule literally their church under the realm of fear, of putting fear in the people to do or not to do certain things. And that is not the way that you operate the house of God. We serve God because we love Him, and we love Him because He first loved us. And we do that because of what He's done for us. And so there's that living in the level of the flesh, just doing what I want to do. It's just natural. I'm going to do that. And that's the way the world lives. And then there's the law. And then, thank God, there's that level of grace and love. There's that place where we can find then is a result of our conversion, of true salvation. And now we possess an eternal presence living in our heart and in our life and in our body, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells and lives within us. You'll notice there, I noticed it last week. We called attention to it last week. That in verse number 9, verse number 11, three times the Word of God talks about the Spirit of God that dwelleth or dwells in us. I'm glad tonight that I know that I'm saved. I'm glad that I know that that He lives within my heart and in my life. I noticed tonight when we sang that song, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder," Brother Dan said, "I'll be there." I almost said, "Boy, you say that with a lot of confidence," but thank God we can say it with confidence, because when the roll is called and we know that we've been born again, afresh new by the Spirit of God, we know that when that roll is called, thank God we'll go there to be with Him forever and forever. So therefore, I ought not to have fear in my life, because the Holy Spirit lives here. The Holy Spirit lives in my life, and if He's not there, then the Bible says that we're none of His. And so I want us to notice some things tonight along these verses, and some things that we need to mention and as we go through this. First of all, I want us to notice a truth that must be emphasized in verses 5 through 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot, and you ought to underline that word, cannot, please God. That's found in verse number 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We ought to emphasize that over and over and over again. Verse number 5 says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Now, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Our people and a person, individuals that just always living in the things of the world and under the realm and under the domination of the flesh will not, cannot ever please God, because he lives in a much higher realm than that. These verses explain what pleases God and what does not please him. Here we have two basic types of people: those who mind the things of the flesh and those who mind the things of the Spirit. There's the two kinds. Now you can take those two and fashion out to a lot of different areas, but here in these verses, the two main type of people that are mentioned here are those that mind the things of the flesh and those that mind or take care of the things of the Spirit. Let's notice first of all those who mind the things of the flesh. Now that word flesh there doesn't talk about this skin. We need to get that taken care of right immediately. It's not talking about this body that we're looking at. It's not talking about the flesh that hurts. It's not talking about the body that bleeds. It's not that, but it's the nature that is given to that body. It's that fallen Adamic nature that has gone in enmity against God. It's that nature that is an enemy of God that we're talking about here tonight. And so we find that it's those things over which the devil has control in our bodies and in our flesh, in our life. There's no interest in God in that type of person. There's no interest in God's people. There's no interest in God's church. There's no interest in God's book. There's no interest in God's salvation. Those are the people that mind and take care of the things of the flesh. That sinful Adamic nature that has never been regenerated and never been reborn, they don't care anything about God. They don't care anything about God's people. They don't care anything about God's man. They don't care anything about God's pulpit. They don't care anything about God's house. They don't care anything about God, period. They're minding the things of the flesh. And they're taking care of that. They're ignorant of the eternal. They live in a material level. All they're concerned about is how much they can get, how much they can obtain, how much they can do over here, and how much they can go over there, and how much this, and how much that, and just bring it all in, bring it all in, bring it all. That's all they're worried about. They're ignorant of the eternal, the spiritual things, and they live in the material level of this world. They live without God's help. They live without the help of God. They don't care about God. And they would sit and tell you, I don't need God. They'll sit and tell you, I don't need the things of the Lord. They'll tell you that book is nothing more than just a book of fairy tales and fables. They'll sit back and they'll rear back in their chair and they'll put their hand in their suspenders and say, I don't need anything from anybody. They're the ones that are minding the things of the flesh. They're ignorant and they're null and void of the things of the Lord. Verse number 7, it says the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject. You ought to underline, you ought to look at that word. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You can't make a person that's in the flesh and still in his natural old brute beast way, you cannot make him be a child of God. You can dress him up all you want to. You can cut his hair. You can put everything on him that needs to be put. You can dress him up, but it doesn't change the nature of that man. The Bible says here that the things in which they do, they are not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. You can never make a lost person look or act or be like a Christian for very long. Back in the early, late 60s, early 70s, we dressed up a lot of people, made them look like Christians. I mean, we took the Madison Avenue type of ministry and just selling ourselves. We took every gimmick, every game, everything that could be placed in the house of God and tried to get people to be and look and act like Christians and have a little bit of excitement. And say, how do you know that? Because I was in that for a while. When I went to Bible college in 1970, we got in a church that I've never seen as much excitement all my life. But I got to examining what that excitement was about. It wasn't about the Word of God. It wasn't, oh, you could hear the Lord, you could hear the message, but the more excitement over the things that they were doing, the activities they were having. And we've done everything to try to dress people up, but the Bible says here that they are not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, until a person comes to realize his lost condition before God and sees himself as God says he is, as a vile, wicked, ungodly, dirty sinner. Until he sees himself that way and turns to God and repents of his sin and trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior, you can put all the things you want to put on him. You can make him bus captain. You can make him Sunday school superintendent. You can make him a preacher, but that's not going to do anything. He indeed neither can be subject to the law of God. Amen. He has not the Spirit of God, and he cannot follow the things of the Lord. That word there, subject, just simply means to come under authority of. And that's why in the last few years we have seen a mass exodus out of fundamental churches over this thing of authority. That's the reason we have seen a mass exodus over in any place that had any kind of authority given unto them. People do not want authority. There's not an individual in here tonight that wants to be told what they have to do. But you know what? This book here has the authority to tell me what I've got to do. This book here has the authority to show me what I must do and the path that I must follow. But a person that's left in his natural state, he is not subject to the law of God. It doesn't have any authority over him. It doesn't have any persuasion over him. And that's why people will come, and that's why I've had people tell me, and probably some of you have had folks tell you, well, that preacher is not going to tell me what to do. You know why people say that? Is because they're not under the subject or the authority of God. Why, you're not, that church is not going to tell me how to live. Yeah, the church needs to tell you how to live. The church has the authority given to it by the Lord to do certain things. And the reason we probably have many problems is because we don't use that authority God's given us. But a person that is in his natural condition is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. You'll never make him a child of God by law. You'll never make him be what he ought to be just because he thinks he has to. Galatians chapter number 5. Tells us the fruit of the Spirit. And it tells you the works of the flesh. We're dealing now with that group of people that do mind the things of the flesh. In Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. The works of the flesh, those that do mind the things of the flesh. I wish we could put our Sunday school lesson this all together, because it sure does fit. But these are the folks that are minding the things of this world, the things of the flesh. Now notice here what they're manifest in. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and then it goes on and says, and such like. Those are not just all of the works of the flesh, but that just gives you a pretty good example. And the Bible and the Lord said, well, just go ahead and put and such like, and everything that is of the flesh is an enemy of God. And we are not to be involved in those things as a child of the Lord. We are not to be involved in those envyings and drunkenness and rivaling and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and all those things that are manifest in this old flesh. That old sinful nature that you and I have, if we don't keep it subject under the subject of the law of God, if we don't put it under the authority of God, that'll be manifest in our life because we're still in the flesh. Because we're still under, we still have that Adamic nature. We still have a fallen nature. Every one of us in here this evening, if you're saved, you have two natures. You don't have one nature. Now, if you're lost, you've got one nature. You just got that old nature. If you've never come to know Christ, you're still in your sin, and you still have the old nature, And it's not been regenerated. It's still just like it was. An enemy of God. But those of us that have been born again, those of us that have been saved, we have two natures. We have a new nature that's been given to us. And that new nature does not eradicate or do away with the Adamic nature. That's where some of our Pentecostal folks, we have difficulties with them in their doctrine. Because many of them say that after a while the old nature is eradicated or done away with. That is not true. The Bible teaches us that we have two natures, the nature of Christ and the nature of man. That old sinful nature is there. And if we, as a child of God, if we let ourselves get involved in the things of this world and in the things of the flesh, these things will be manifested in my life and in your life. There's not a one of us in here tonight that is immune unto any of these things of the flesh. I mean, we are not immune to that. You say, well, I'd never be an idolater. You get away from God, you'd be surprised what you'll worship. You say, well, I'd never get into witchcraft. You get away from God, might surprise you what you get into. Well, I'm not a drunkard. You get away from God, you might be surprised. That'd be the very thing that the devil would put in your way and would make you falter and fail. You say, well, I'm not going to get involved in strife and wrath. I'm not going to get into murders and reveling and all those things. I'm not going to be an adulterer. I'm not going to get into fornication. I'm not going to get into uncleanness. Beware lest ye also fall. There's been many a people more spiritual than you or I that has fallen to these things. And I believe with all my heart, now the judges can set up and tell what they want to, but I believe with all my heart that there's a lot of people that are born again by the Spirit of God, that their lives are ruined and wrecked in these works of the flesh because they got away from God. And I realize there's some folks that claim to be Christians and they put on that form that we was talking about, and they do mind the things of flesh and they've never been saved. But I believe there's some folks that are saved that's living right here in the works of the flesh. And before we get so holy and high and mighty and say, well, I'd never do that, you better put a guard up on your door real quick. I have found that most people that say I would never do that are usually those that are already doing it. I have found that when what a person talks about is what's bothering them. I've known some folks that they would talk about, well, I'd never be guilty of this, never be guilty of that, and they'd give some folks down the road, and 2 months down the time, they'd be guilty of far worse. All time talking about it. Usually we talk about what's on our mind. It comes out somewhere in the conversation. It comes out. We can't help it. These are the people that do mind the things of the flesh. These are those that are following the natural way of life. And that is a truth that must be emphasized. Not only that, but there are those, thank God, that do mind the things of the Spirit. They know the world is passing away, and so therefore they're not putting too many stakes down in the world. They know that Jesus is coming, so therefore they walk and live like Jesus would have them to do. They walk on earth, but they sit in heavenly places. They live in the flesh, but they're not in the flesh, by the flesh. They're born in time, but they are heirs of eternity. That's those that are minding the things of the Spirit. They have their eyes open to the beauties of God, and they're filled with peace, and they have all the blessings of God upon because they're serving and worshiping and honoring God and trying to keep their lives pure and clean in a world that's spotted with sin. The book of Isaiah tells us we have peace. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3 says, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Verse number 4 says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." The scripture says that God will keep us in perfect peace. He'll keep us there. We're filled with peace. Those that mind the things of the work of God and the words of the Lord and blessings of God and all and busy in the things of God. I'll tell you what. Whoever said it's not a recreation hall, it's a battlefield, brother, they told the truth. We're living in a battlefield. We're living and the guns are going off and the arrows are being shot and the darts are being thrown and the wickedness is prevailing. But you and I need to keep our face before God and keep our eyes upon the Lord and say, God, help me not to mind the things of the flesh, but God, help me to be spiritual in my life and serve Thee. We can do that. We have permanent enjoyment because of what Jesus has done. Somebody has said religion has made people unhappy. I'll agree with that 10,000%. Religion doesn't make anybody happy. Religion makes people unhappy. Religion rules by law of thou shalt and thou shalt not. They have a new group out. And it's called Fundamentalist Anonymous. For all these people, they're so unhappy because of the rules and regulations that fundamentalists have given people down through the years. You know what's wrong with that crowd? They need to be born again. Doesn't matter if they're preacher's kids, doesn't matter who they are, they need to be born again. We don't live under the rule, we live under the grace of God. I'm here tonight preaching because God put preaching in me and I can't help it. I'd rather preach as eat, and I like to eat. We'll get off of that. I mean, I love to preach. Why? Because God has called me to preach. I may not preach well. I may make a mess of things, but I sure enjoy trying. I enjoy doing it. And the reason for that is that God has put a fire and God has put a desire in our heart that we serve Him. And I hope to goodness tonight you're here because you love the Lord, not because you think preacher's going to call you. I'm not going to call you. I've been ridiculed for that, and I can't help it. God didn't call me to give a bunch of people baby bottles and say, no, well, y'all need to come on now. You ought to be here because you love God. Somebody said, wonder where they were today. I said, I don't know. Are you going to go find out? No, probably not right now. I will a little later, but not right now. Well, why? Well, I don't have time. Oh, you mean you're too busy to go visit your members? No. I don't have time to mess with the frivolous things that they ought to be where they ought to be grown to maturity level. They ought to be here. You say, well, so-and-so's mad. I'm sorry. I mean, most of the time people get mad, they don't even tell me why they're mad. They go mad at everybody else. I mean, they go jack their jaw to everybody else, but they won't say nothing to the preacher. And then wonder why I don't go see them. Well, I don't even know I need to. A lot of times people go in the hospital and don't even tell the preacher, get mad because he don't come and see them. Didn't even take time to call him. Not a mind reader. But folks, what I'm talking about, minding the things of the Spirit. Now, if you get out of sorts of God very long, I'm going to come see you. Sure. I believe that's my responsibility, my duty. There's some folks I'm going to go see here for very long. Because they're out of sorts with God and they're out of sorts with the house of God, and we're going to take care of some things. But folks, what I'm talking about is the things of the Spirit. Of getting into this, of walking and serving God. And we do it because we love the Lord. We do it because God has put a fire in us to serve Him. There's a trust in verse number 9 that we must experience. It must be experienced in our life. Turn with me again, Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, the latter part of it. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You don't have to say too much about that verse. I mean, it says what it means and means what it says. And You don't have to be a Greek scholar to understand it. You don't have to even know a whole lot about English to understand that. If the Spirit of God is not in you, you don't belong to the Lord. If the Spirit of God doesn't live in your heart, then you're not saved. You're not born again. Every Christian that's truly born again has the Holy Spirit. The moment a person receives the Lord, the moment that he asks God into his heart, that Spirit comes in and lives there forever. And you get all of him there is to get. You don't have to have second, third, fourth, 10th, 20th blessing. You get it all. He moves in, he takes up his residence, and your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. We must trust him. Before salvation, ignorance filled our minds. Rebellion ruled in our wills, and disorder characterized our life. But now, thank God, we can have the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are manifest in thee, but the fruit, singular, is found also in the book of Galatians. Let's go back and read that. Wouldn't want to honor the works of the flesh without honoring the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 again, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. Love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Faith, meekness, and temperance. You can divide those up into those threes. The love, joy, and peace is the fruit of the heart. The long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness is the fruit of other to others. Faith, meekness, and temperance is of to the Lord. And we have those working in our life as a child of God. Verse number 11 of Romans chapter 8. You'll find that there's a thrill that must be expected in our life. Verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Thank God there's a thrill that I'm expecting. If I die and go out of this world and my old body is laid to rest, thank God one day that body shall be raised, because that Spirit that dwelleth in me shall raise it again, just as it did the body of the Son of God. Boy, that's thrilling to my heart, and should be thrilling to your soul to realize and to know that when you close your eyes in death, that's not the end of all things. We're not like a bunch of animals. We're not like the dogs and the beasts of the field. We are created in the image of God, and the Spirit that raised up the body of Jesus Christ one day is going to raise us up. We're going to be taken to the Lord, to heaven forever. That's a thrilling thought. Paul here discusses one of man's greatest fears, and that's the fear of death. If I was to ask you a question tonight, how many of you want to die? Ain't nobody going to raise your hand. Doesn't matter who you are. If I ask you a question, how many of you are afraid of dying? Will that hand go up? We're afraid of it. It's the unexpected. It's the things we don't know. But thank God, we don't have to be afraid of dying. We don't have to have the fear of death. Why? Because the Spirit that lives in this body is going to raise us again. We're going to be raised. We're going to be like the Lord and have the body like the Lord. The body is still subject to death even though we're saved. Sin's in it. It has sown its seeds of decay, and it'll win the victory. We'll become weak. Death will overtake us. Disease will come upon us. And somewhere down the line, if the Lord doesn't come, we're going to die. That's settled. It's already known. All of us in here know that. But yet we fear it. But when death has had its last word, that same Spirit that lives in our heart, that raised up Jesus, is going to raise us up. In 1 Corinthians, a great passage of Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Death swallowed up in victory. And then it goes on and says, O death, where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the greatest verses you'll ever read in the Word of God we've just read tonight. O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is your victory? I'm glad tonight the sting of death has been put null and void by the Son of God. The grave may have the body for a while, and it may have victory over it for a little while, but thank God those that have died in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. Amen. And victory will be given to the people of God, and we'll be raised by that same Holy Spirit that lives in us right now, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We'll go up to be with Him. The dead in Christ arise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be forever with the Lord. Bless His name. That's a thrill that you can expect. That's a thrill that's going to happen. Many of us have laid loved ones to rest in the cold, unfriendly cemeteries. There's nothing in a cemetery I like, because everywhere you look shows that the grave has victory. Everywhere you look, it shows you that sin has stung people to death. But oh, thanks be unto God. Bless His name. One day it's all going to be over with. We'll be forever with the Lord. There's a temptation, though, that we must escape in Romans chapter 8. Remember now, we possess an eternal presence. That's why we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear death, because we're not going to die. We're just going to lay down and rest a while. The body is, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That does away with the crowd that believes in soul sleep. They don't understand. They don't even understand simple English. And then they try to throw out the Greek on you. Our soul does not sleep. Our soul goes to be with the Lord. This body, yes, goes back to the dust of the earth. It rests. It sleeps. That's the word that God uses. One day it's going to be woke up. One day it's going to be taken care of. Verse number 12, Romans chapter 8. We'll never get through, goodness. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Wherefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We don't owe the flesh anything. What do you owe your flesh? Well, your flesh is the only thing that has ever gotten you in trouble. Your flesh will wake up in a grumpy mood. You'll say something to your husband or your wife and get all upset and mad. That's all your flesh has ever done. Your flesh will take you places. I'm talking about that nature now, not this flesh here. It'll take you places that you don't want to go. Because Paul says, those things I would not do, that's what I end up doing. It'll make you say things and do things and experience things and live things that you don't even want to do. We are not in debt to the flesh, but we're a debtor to God. We owe Him a debt because of His unchanging love. We owe Him a debt because of the unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. We owe Him a debt because of the unlimited blessings that He gives us day by day, every day of our life. We owe God everything. If there's a temptation, we better be careful, because if we're not careful, we'll think we owe the flesh something. We'll think we owe it something. It's done so good for us. We'll go soothe the flesh a little bit. We'll let the lust of the flesh take over a little while. If we don't owe it anything, we ought not do that. Verse number 13, with this we'll close. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify — that word mortify just means to kill. Mortify, kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. There's a triumph that one day we're going to enjoy. There's a triumph there, because if we'll put the deeds of this old body, if we'll kill it, put it to death, God will give us blessings. We have no confidence in the flesh. We ought not to yield our members, the Bible says, to uncleanness. We ought to deny ungodliness. We ought to avoid every appearance of evil. Verse 12 says to mortify the deeds of the body, to kill. And you notice that little word in front of mortify. It says, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify. I looked that up. It means continually to put to death. Just because you put the works of the flesh to death today in your body doesn't mean they're going to stay dead. We do mortify. We do continually have to put to death the things of this old flesh. The things that bothered you today will be the things that will bother you tomorrow. And if you don't kill it tomorrow, it'll have victory over you. And if you kill it today and you kill it tomorrow, you're going to have a battle the next day. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. And that's why the Apostle Paul says here, we do mortify. We do continually. We do always mortify, put to death the deeds of this body. If you'll do that, you'll have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 is a victory chapter. It's the capstone, I believe, of all of the book of Romans. And we find that we should have no spirit of fear, because we have been pardoned from an eternal penalty of hell. And then tonight, we ought not to have the spirit of fear, because we possess an eternal presence. The Holy Spirit that makes us able to put to death every day the works of the flesh. You're not going to do it by yourself. You say, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go out and mortify the body today. I'm going to put it to death. If you do it in your own strength, it'll not die. But you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, living in your life, that gives you power over those things. David, when he went out to kill Goliath, he didn't go out in the power and the strength of his might. David didn't wear Saul's armor because it wouldn't fit. It wasn't his. He didn't go in his own strength, but he went in the strength of the Lord. And if we're going to kill the giants in our lives, if we're going to let the slingshot fly and the rock fly and mortify the deeds of the body, we've got to do it under the power and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way you will have victory and triumph in your life. Let's stand tonight. No spirit of fear. Thank God we don't have to live in fear. I don't have to fear dying. Ought not to fear living, because living, thank God I have Him, and dying, He has me, so I don't have to worry, don't have to fear. Our Father tonight, Lord, we pray that You'd bless now the study of the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the book of Romans in chapter 8. That's such a blessing. Lord, as we continue our study, as we look to these things, God help us to understand, God help us to know that we do not have to have that spirit of fear. We can live victorious. We can live in victory because of the Holy Spirit that lives in our heart. The victory that overcomes the world and mortifies and puts to death and kills the deeds and the works of the flesh. My Father, tonight, if there are those here that have never come to know Christ, our prayer is, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might touch their heart. Try to find entrance and gain that entrance into their life. Oh, dear Lord, we realize, we understand nobody will get saved unless the Holy Spirit works in their life. That's the only way a person gets saved, is the Holy Spirit come and knock on the door. God, I pray if there be those here tonight that's lost, they might come and let Jesus have His way in their life. Then, my Father, for Christians today, Lord, I realize, I understand, I know and I understand, You know. And God, the things of this world, they attract us, they pull us. They spot us. They make us dirty. God, I'm glad we don't have to live in the hell holes of this world. I'm glad I don't have to live like the world. I'm glad I don't have to die like some people are dying. I'm glad I don't have to do some of the things that this world does. Dear God, I know that my debt is owed to Thee. I'm a debtor to Christ. because of what He's done for us. Father, help us as Christians to be drawn closer to Thee, keeping our eyes upon the Lord and our hand upon the sword, that we fight the good fight of faith. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Tonight, if God spoke to your heart, you ought to come and get things right with God. If you're here lost, you ought to come and get saved, get born again. Let that Holy Spirit that I've been speaking about come and find entrance into your heart and into your life. Make Him yours, and He'll save you. He'll make you a new creature. So come tonight as we sing. What number?
384.
Page number 384 tonight. As we sing, you come if God's spoken.
Now I'm coming home. The path of sin to long I've gone. Lord, I'm coming home.
What about tonight, would you? Come to the place that God would have you to be, coming home. Every time I hear that song, I think about that parable that's given in Luke chapter 15. That young man went his way, went to a far country, did what he wanted to do. Thank God one day he came back home. He was home. I wonder tonight, are you home? Are you where you ought to be? Are you serving God? Are you living for Him? Are you really at home in the things of God? See, a lot of people come to church, but they don't feel at home there. You know why? Because they're not at home. There's things not right. There's things wrong. Maybe they may come to church, they may be lost. They don't feel at home. Lost people come into the house of God, they feel out of place. Especially when God's doing a work in lives and hearts of people, they just don't understand it. You know why? They don't have the Spirit of the Lord. They don't understand this book. You can try to preach people into heaven all you want to, but it doesn't take that. It takes the preaching, yes, the Word of God, but it takes the Spirit of God opening that heart and that mind to understand what's being said. You can talk and preach and holler till you're blue in the face. If the Holy Spirit doesn't deal that individual's heart, you're beating your head against the wall. It takes the Holy Spirit. That blessed Spirit of God that lives in our heart. Are you at home tonight? Is everything well in your life? As a believer, as a Christian, is everything well? Is there nothing between you and your Savior? Everything like it ought to be? If not, you ought to not. Now, I ought not wait a moment. You ought to just come. I ought to get your heart right and say, God, I'm guilty. I've been minding the things of the flesh, and some of those things have come. Hatred and envy and strife. It doesn't have to be those sins that we call terrible and wicked. It doesn't have to be the fornication and the idolatry and the adultery. It doesn't have to be that. It can be any of those things. Amen. We let God go away from us, and we just get away from Him. Those things come our life. We need to find our place back in the house of God. We need to find our place back in the altar and say, God, forgive me. God, help me. Lord, I've been minding the things of the flesh. The old Indian says about the two natures, you've heard it 100 times. He said, I've got two dogs fighting within me, and whichever one I heed the most is the one that wins the battle. How true that is. We've got two natures within ours as Christians. You feed the old Adamic sinful nature, and it's going to come to the forefront. It's going to win. You fade and you mind the things of the Spiret. And those things will be put in the background. You live in victory by the Lord. Let's sing another stanza tonight.
I wasted.